It's good to see you. It's good to be able to spend some time this evening in God's Word. I appreciate your presence. I always consider it a privilege to be able to study God's Word with you. And I hope as we begin this week, we can study and learn some things that will help us in our service to God this week. I appreciate that song that we just sang. It's one of my personal favorites. I remember singing that a lot as growing up as a child, very upbeat, moving along and upbeat and very encouraging, and knowing that when we obey God's Word, we can be blessed and we can enter into that heavenly city. This evening, I want to talk about an expression, and I wanted to say at the beginning, because I often critique things that are said in society, I wanted to say at the beginning that I want to look at an expression this evening that's a very good expression. And it's biblical. And it's something that is good not only to say, but to hear and to think about. So because I often review statements and expressions, sometimes in a negative way, I wanted to preface my remarks this evening by saying, I'm not going in that direction. This is a very good thing. When you go out in town and you go to the grocery store, you'll hear this. Sometimes the server at a restaurant will say this to you, the post office, a neighbor, etc. What is a common expression that you hear, especially in the South? And when the person says it, you can pretty much tell that you would say, well, that's probably a religious person. You've heard this a lot. Have a what? Yeah, I want to talk this evening about have a blessed day. That's a great statement. Linda Matthews says that to me from time to time. I got a text the other day from Hester and she said that. That's a great thing, and I appreciate that. And we're going to talk this evening about how to have a blessed day. You hear it all the time. How can we have a blessed day? How can we have a relationship with God where that is actually going to happen at the end of the day? You're going to have a blessed day. Sometimes I like to do lessons like this that involve things that we hear on a regular basis to get us to think. So the next time you hear this, the next time Linda Matthews tells you this, I want you to think about this lesson. You know, I really do want to have a blessed day. And how can that come about? I want us to consider as we begin this evening, how many millions of people in the world are unhappy? I've talked about this before. I have made this point before that over the past few years, especially with the different things going on, statistically, it has been shown across the board that just about anything bad that you can do or that can happen to you has raised up in the last little while. Everything is higher. All of the things that make people unhappy, all the things that they're putting in their body and doing to themselves and doing to others, just about everyone across the board, the statistics are up. People are angry and sad and unhappy, and they're taking it out on themselves and others. And in the midst of all of that, I want us to be careful not to get caught up in that and find ourselves in that same situation, because God wants the opposite. He wants us to be happy. In some of the verses that we're looking at this evening, some of the newer versions, instead of using the word blessed or blessed, uses the word happy. Makarios literally means long or large. The M-A-K prefix at the beginning of that word, we have macro, meaning long or large. We have macroeconomics. We have macroevolution. We have macro analysis, someone who does a macro analysis, a long-term analysis. Macro is used a lot in biology, in the scientific world, in the medical world. Macro this and macro that. Long. And so Makarios is talking about the benefits and the blessings of God that are extended long out into every aspect of your life. And it's translated blessed. God wants us to have His benefits and His blessings extended out and into our life in every aspect of it. And He wants us to have a blessed day. But my question this evening is, how is it that we can truly have that? What does that mean to say that? And what does that mean to be the recipient of that? So I got to thinking this past week, well, let me just see what the New Testament says about being blessed. And then that'll tell us what we need to do to have a blessed day. Let's start with Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, we find the beginning of the use of this word in the New Testament, and Jesus uses it in the Sermon on the Mount. You're very familiar with what we call the Beatitudes. And these begin with the word blessed. Like I said, some versions use the word happy. But in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, we have blessed, 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 blessed. What does Jesus say? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We know that from the latter part of chapter 4. This is kingdom living. This is what it means to be a citizen in Christ's kingdom. And he opens up. He has a number of things to say in three chapters in the Sermon on the Mount. But he opens up with attitudes. We call them the Beatitudes. The attitudes that you need to have to be right with God. And so, number one, how can we have a blessed day? How can we avoid all of this unhappiness and the problems in all of our different relationships? We will have a blessed day when we have the right spiritual attitude and approach to life. People get up on the wrong side of the bed and they stay that way the entire day because they have a worldly attitude and a worldly approach to these things that we're going to read here in just a minute. But Jesus said that people are blessed when they have these attitudes and these approaches to the different things that He's going to bring up. And we'll talk about them in just a second. We'll go down through the list briefly. But these are attitudes. These are approaches. And I want our young people here this evening to hear that you're hearing from the world a completely different attitude and a completely different approach, which is can be really summed up with narcissism, just self, just a focus on yourself all day. That is the worst thing you can do. Look at what Jesus said. Number one, we will be blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is the humble, contrite person. Not the proud person, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, the person who's willing to be contrite and humble and mourn over their own sin even, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. This is the person who is willing to be submissive and obedient to God, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm striving to be right in every aspect of my life. My attitude is I want to know God's word and read it and obey it and be right. And I'm starving, as it were, to get that. Blessed are the merciful. My attitude is that of kindness and mercy and being willing to forgive a person and being willing to help a person, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is the attitude, not of, I'm just going to fill my life with sin, but I'm going to fill my life with purity. And I'm a better person when I do that. Blessed are the peacemakers. This attitude of let's argue at the drop of a hat. Let's fight. Let's argue. Let's war. But my attitude is, I'm going to work for peace if I can. These are attitudes. These are approaches to things that will come up throughout the day. And then, blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake. This, verse 11, blessed are you when men shall reproach you. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute now. How can I be happy when we're talking about a negative thing, persecution? But if you look at it, it's an attitude of saying, look, I am going to suffer for the cause of Christ because I know, verse 12, one day I can go to heaven and have that reward. It's an attitude of I'm going to persevere through the negative stuff, knowing that I'm going to get the positive thing one day. How can we have a blessed day? The same statements are found in Luke's account in Luke chapter 6. And whether this is the same account or what some describe as maybe another sermon on the plain, the point is the same. The Beatitudes are the same. It speaks of attitude and approach to life. And Jesus said, you're going to be blessed when you have these things. We have to be poor in spirit and mourn and be meek and hunger for righteousness and be merciful and be pure in heart and be peacemakers and be willing to go through the persecution. With that approach to life, we will have a blessed day. We don't have those things in our life. We have the opposite of those things. We're not going to have a blessed day. And you stop and think about that. You can see that in people. You can see. You've seen it at work and other places where the person gets up with a sour, worldly attitude, and everything they try to address in life is the wrong thing. They don't know the Bible. They don't have Christ. They're just grasping with whatever human wisdom somebody's feeding them, and their lives are miserable. But we can have a happy, blessed life with the right spiritual attitude and the right approach to life. I love how Jesus opens up this Sermon on the Mount with the core fundamental thing. You've got to have the right attitude. He branches off into other kinds of things, many kinds of things, but it starts with the blessedness of having the right attitude in life. We will have a blessed day when we have the right spiritual attitude and approach to life. The second area in the New Testament where you find this word is used is regarding our approach and attitude toward the Word of God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1 and verse 42 when the angels announce to Mary and Elizabeth about their births, and then Mary and Elizabeth come together and they talk with each other. We begin to see the word blessed used with regard to God's Word. We will have a blessed day when we believe God's Word. When we believe God's Word. We find in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 42, or verse 41, it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, blessed art thou, speaking of Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is it to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For behold, when the voice of the salutation came into my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in the God of my Savior, for he hath looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For doing what? Verse 45. For believing what God said would happen. John 20 and verse 29, Jesus said that those are blessed who later they will not have his personal presence. Thomas had his personal presence. But Jesus said, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. But verses 30 and 31 tell us that it's going to be based on the evidence of the things that are written. We don't have the personal Jesus standing in front of us, but verses 30 and 31, we have the evidence that is written about him. And blessed are those who believe. Brethren, we'll have a blessed day when we believe God's word. And trust in that, and as we're going to see in a minute, obey it. People who don't believe God's word have a miserable day. The life of the atheist and the skeptic and the humanist, regardless of how it's advertised, they are not happy. And then after we believe it, if we will understand it and begin to learn it and grow from there, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus spoke in parables and he said something concerning the apostles there. That as the apostles learned more and more of God's word and as they were around Jesus and they put the Old Testament together with the New Testament, Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. He had just talked about the quotation from Isaiah where people don't want to learn and know and understand the word of God. We're blessed. Also in Luke 10, 23 and 24, we're blessed when we understand the Word of God. When the light turns on, as it were. When all of that study pays off. When we put two and two together and we see the connections and we see the context and we understand the words and we see the lessons that are being brought together, whether in the Bible class or in a sermon or in our own personal reading. And the light comes on, as it were. That's a blessed thing, and it's blessed because we can now have this understanding and the confidence, and then we can go out and apply it. It's a blessed relationship. There's going to be benefits and blessings. That's the whole idea of Makarios. God is saying, I have benefits and blessings that I want you to have every day, and they will extend as far as they need to extend into your life. And I'm telling you how you can have that. From time to time, a store will say, I'm offering this prize or this blessing. Here's what you need to do to get it. If you want a free coffee at Black Rifle, take your receipt and go home and fill it out online and fill out the survey and we will send you the coupon on how to get a free coffee. God is saying, here's how you get the blessings. Let's go out and do that. And then, of course, we have to obey God's word. There are so many passages that you can see here. Just turn with me to John 13 and verse 17. All of these passages, if you're taking notes, equate blessedness with obeying God's word. We'll just look at one example of this. In John chapter 13 and verse 17, as Jesus, he had just been giving the example of service in washing the disciples' feet. If you know these things, what things? Well, in the immediate context, the things of service. Learning service, and we need so much of that today, learning to serve others. I spoke with you when I did the Ghana review, how the Ghanese train their children from youth to serve others, especially the elderly. And I told you how that I would get out of the car and I would grab my bag and I would take just a few steps and some child would be running up to grab my bag. We don't see that here, do we? But they're taught to serve others. And so Jesus said, if you know these things, in other words, he had just given them a lesson. Blessed are you if you do them. The blessedness doesn't come by just talking about it and learning about it. The blessed state comes when you actually go out and do it. You get your own towel and you wash someone else's feet. And I've experienced this in my life, as I'm sure you have as well. When you actually pick a day of the week to just go practice something that you learned on Sunday, man, you feel so much better. I'm just actually practicing this. It's not theory. It's not just some notes in, on a piece of paper. It's not just a PowerPoint. I actually went out and did such and such. You feel so much better. That's where the blessing comes. And with regard to obeying the gospel, we hear over and over again, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It would be like Jesus saying, if you know these things, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Well, you know these things, but you're not blessed until you do them. There is a feeling that you have in your heart when you hear those things, but I'm telling you, when you come up out of that water and you come back in here, and we sing and pray together, and you take the Lord's Supper this evening, you're going to have a little better feeling, a lot better feeling. You're going to have a blessed feeling. I've obeyed God. And as a Christian, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus in these various passages, in James says, not hearers only, but you're blessed in your doing. James tackles this very problem, not only in chapter 1, but also in chapter 2, of brethren saying this and saying that. I mentioned this last week, I believe it was. But it's not until we actually do it, till you actually take that item to the shut-in, that you think, wow, I am so blessed that I got to be able to do this for the shut-in. We're not blessed when we're thinking about it. We're blessed when we actually do it. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, in several places in the book of Revelation, we're blessed when we hear and do the will of God. You want to have a blessed day? Actually put into practice God's Word. And you'll find that the blessings come. Turn with me to Matthew 16 and verse 17. There's another area related to God's Word and that is tied into blessedness. I want us all to have a blessed day, and I appreciate those who say that to me. And you know, in the future, when you say that to me, first of all, thank you for doing that. You're going to be reminding me that God wants me to have a blessed day, because I live in a world where the devil wants me to have an unhappy, unsatisfied, terrible day. And I want to have a blessed day, and I'm going to try my best to remember these points. Okay. I'm going to check my attitude, and I'm going to check my obedience to God's Word. And then look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17. Blessedness is tied to this area of God's Word. After Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And different answers are given from different individuals. Simon Peter, verse 16, answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get it, blessed art thou. Simon, you're going to have a blessed day. Why, Simon? For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Simon Peter, you have simply spoken the Word of God. You have spoken what God has revealed, and blessed are you for doing so. You want to have a blessed day? Speak God's Word to others. Not man's opinions. Back up to verse 13, 14. 15. Well, we think he's this, and we think he's that. You want to have a blessed day? Take what we learn. Young people, take what you learn in God's Word and share it with others. You might save them one day by doing that. That's a blessed thought. But to stand up for Christ, that's a blessed thing. To reveal to others what God has revealed to us in His Word is a blessed thing. In a world of lies, in a world of human wisdom and human opinions, the light of truth cuts through all of that. That is a blessing at school and work and other places. And if you use your technology to talk with others in social media and stuff, share the Word of God. Share a scripture on Facebook. Just share a scripture. Get God's Word out there. Speak that to others. Simon was different. I'm going to say what God has revealed to me. That's what's important, not what people think. People's opinions are dime a dozen. We want God's revelation. You'll have a blessed day when you share God's Word with others. It may be the lost. It may be the discouraged Christian. It may be a text or a phone call or whatever, but somebody needs picking up. And that picking up can come with God's Word. That salvation, Romans 1:16, comes with the gospel. Speak God's Word to others. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Let's see what we can do to have a blessed day. Do you know why that there is so much unhappiness in our society today? So much angst and anger and unhappiness and violence and this and that. Do you know what the root cause of a lot of that is? There are a number of factors. A lot of sins and immoralities at the root of that. But one of the most basic problems, and I know that, we'll get to Acts 20, because Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when he mentions grievous times, and we are certainly in those times, in the last days, grievous times, some versions say terrible times shall come, for men shall be, and then look at what's at the head of the list. What's at the head of the list? Lovers of self. That's what's driving much of the problem. So what's the solution? Acts chapter 20, if we will get out of ourselves and into the lives of others, we will have a blessed day. And I'm telling you, it works. Get out and give something to somebody. Do something for somebody. And when you get done, you feel so much better. Acts chapter 20, Paul knew this. Paul is not going to tell us something that is not true. And he's getting it from the Lord. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You want to have a blessed day? Give to others. Give, give, give. It could be monetarily. It could be giving time. It could be giving help and aid in some other ways. It could be taking something to somebody. Give. You will be blessed when you do. There's nothing wrong with receiving things. But if we want to be blessed, give. Pick somebody this week that I am going to give something to somebody else. We do that with ourselves. We do that even with those outside the church, like the Good Samaritan. You will feel better. You go to bed at night, put your head on the pillow, and you think, man, God has blessed me with so much, and I got a chance to share that with somebody else. It's the selfish, narcissistic, me, 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 that's the unhappy person. It works for a little while, but after a while, selfish people are unhappy people. Even people in the world will tell you, even non-Christians will tell you, that when you're a philanthropist, you have these millionaires and billionaires, even they will tell you that they feel better when they give their money away to charities and things like that. Even people like that understand. And Jesus understood that, and that's why He gave Himself for us. It is more blessed to give. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14 and verse 14, and that even includes people that will not be able to give back to us. The Pharisees had gotten into this situation where I'm going to help out them so that next week they'll turn around and pat me on the back and I'll get a refund on that. I'll get a credit on that and they'll be helping me. Jesus said, no, don't even do that. There are going to be some people that cross our paths that will not be able to literally repay you. But that doesn't matter. There will be a repaying. Jesus said, verse 13, when you make a feast, bid the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. Underscore that. We're learning how to have a blessed day. You will be blessed. Why, Jesus? Because, look at this, because he's going to explain why. Because they have not wherewith to recompense thee. Wait a minute, that would be a bad thing. They can't repay me. That's a bad thing. Well, that's what the Pharisee would be thinking. But the genuine disciple is not thinking about what can I get back. It's truly giving to others, even when they cannot recompense me. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. God is keeping a record of our giving and our serving. He's not going to forget that. He's not going to overlook that. We'll be rewarded for all of that in the judgment day. And Jesus said, you will be blessed. Pick a person knowing that they can't give it back to you. That's even better, according to Jesus. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. How can we have a blessed day? We can have a blessed day when our sins are forgiven. We can have a blessed day when our sins are forgiven. If our sins are not forgiven, then we might have a nice day. We might feel good. We might do something good at school. Maybe our grades at school are pretty good. And we might feel good, the sun shining on our face, and we got nice clothes to wear, and I'm having a good day. Maybe somebody made my favorite meal, and I got to eat that, and I'm feeling pretty good. But if you have sin in your life, if I have sin in my life, then there's a problem. It doesn't matter how good my day's going. There's a problem. And I need to get that sin out of my life. And Paul, in Romans 3 and 4, is talking about how that I can do that. I can be justified and I can be forgiven by faith in Christ. And he uses the example in chapter 4 of Abraham, who walked by faith. And he says we need to be like Abraham. Abraham believed and obeyed and walked by faith. And we need to do the same. And when we do that, look at what's going to happen. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that works not, but believes on him, Jesus, that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Even as David also pronounced blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works. Stop right there. David also pronounced blessing upon the man. Blessing, the man, anyone can be blessed. How? When we have the righteousness of God. Well, then how does that happen? Verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. You want to have a blessed day? Make sure your sins and iniquities are forgiven. It begins by being baptized into Christ. An erring Christian needs to get sin out of their life by repenting and confessing that and praying for that. But we're blessed when our iniquities are forgiven and our sins are covered. And then when you go to bed at night, can you imagine that? It doesn't matter if Jesus comes again at any time. I'm ready to go. It doesn't matter if he goes while I'm sleeping. I'm ready to go. Now that is blessing. But without that, you're not ready. I'm not ready. And there's going to be a problem. Don't we want that peace of mind and our conscience eased, knowing that there's no sin there anymore because it's been washed away in baptism? Don't we want that? Look at verse 9. In this blessing, I'm sorry, is this blessing? It's a blessing. The blessing of forgiveness. Is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? Is this just for Jews or is it not also for Gentiles? For we say to Abraham his faith was reckoned for righteousness. How then was it reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, it's not just for the Jews, but in uncircumcision. This blessing is for everyone. And what a great thing. Do you have that this evening? If not, I want to encourage you to get that. If you want to have a blessed day, walk out of here completely forgiven. I cannot think of a greater blessing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 22, we learn another way, another thing that we need to do, and another way that we can be blessed throughout the day. That we have a clean conscience in all that we do. We're not conflicted inwardly. There's some people who are conflicted inwardly. They do things, I know I shouldn't be doing that, but I'm going to do it anyway. I heard just on the way over this afternoon to the service, I was listening to the radio, two guys up north just won a big fishing tournament. Just blew them out. They come in, they bring their fish in, they weigh them. They weigh heavier than everybody else. They won first place. Somehow the judges said, well, let's just check your fish. They had loaded those fish with lead weights. Just this week. They knew what they were doing when they did it. In fact, the report said they had been caught doing that before. People do stuff and they know they shouldn't be doing it. Now those are things that involve, you know, lying and cheating and deceit and stealing. Paul in Romans 14 is talking about matters where they're neither right nor wrong. Personal conscience. So we're talking about a little bit something different here, but the principle applies. We don't need to do things unless we're fully convinced that this is right. And Paul says with regard to even matters of judgment and so forth, Romans 14 and verse 22, thy faith which you have, that is not faith in Christ or faith to obey the gospel. This is faith in the sense of a conscience. The faith which you have, thou have thyself before God. My version actually says instead of blessed, which is most other places in the American Standard, it actually says happy. Blessed or happy is he, look at this, that judgeth not himself in that which he approves. But he that doubts is condemned if he eat, because he eats not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's talking about doing things with a clean conscience. That's how you can really have a blessed day. But when we're conflicted, and we're doing things that we're saying, well, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway, there's that inward turmoil and problem and doubt and division. And we need simply to live each day with a clean conscience before God. Can you imagine? Here's my fish. After I've loaded it up with lead weights. They knew that that was wrong. And they tried to pull a quick one on somebody. Let's just simply live with a clean conscience. Not trying to con God and con somebody else. And when we live like that, it is truly a blessing. And then last of all, turn with me to James chapter 1. We will have a blessed day when we endure difficult times. And you're thinking, again, it's like what we said with regard to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. How is it that Jesus could tie blessedness in with persecution? How in the world can James tie blessedness in with persecution? The actual act is difficult. It's hard. It's negative. It's painful, maybe even some situations. But the blessedness comes in the endurance of that, the attitude that I'm going to continue on through this. I'm going to rejoice even in difficult times, knowing that God is going to reward me for this. He's not going to reward me if I quit. He's not going to reward me if I quit and fail and stop serving Him. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. How to have a blessed day? Well, endure temptation. For when he has been approved, it shows that we can pass the test. God wants to know if we can pass the test. Just like the teacher at the end of the week wants to know if you can pass the test before moving on. And God is saying, can you pass the test before we move you on to heaven? Approved. He wants to see if we're passing the test. And temptation and trial is a big one. Because we see around us many people who are quitting and failing and giving up. Turn with me to chapter 5 and verse 11, referencing Job. Behold, we call them blessed that endured. Who calls people blessed that endure? God does, and James does. We call them blessed that endure. For you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The end of the book of Job, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful, and we know that Job was rewarded greatly for his endurance. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. How to have a blessed day. Keep our head up in difficult times. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. Wait a minute, Peter. You just said that I'm going to have to suffer, and then you turned around and said, have a blessed day. That would be like Peter saying, well, have a blessed day. Why? Blessed are you, and fear not their fear, neither be troubled, but sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you. Yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, we just talked about that, that wherein you are spoken against, they may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better if the will of God should so will that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You're going to be rewarded. And just like Christ, this is really the book of Peter, just like Christ suffered and then went to glory, we are going to suffer, chapter 5 and verse 10, we're going to suffer and then go to eternal glory, just like Christ did. That's why it's blessed. Look at chapter 4 and verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. This is the second time Peter says, have a blessed day. Blessed are you. Why? Because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you. Even at the moment that you are engaged in this, God is helping you and God's Word is in you. It rests on you. What a great thought. And then turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Those New Testament Christians that were being persecuted under the Roman Empire, the godless and ungodly Roman Empire and nations and governments before, during, and after that time will be ungodly and godless, and Christians will get caught in the middle. Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, meaning makes it through these difficult times. Over these the second death, hell, Revelation 21, 8, hell hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Blessed and holy. So, even in those times, we can be blessed. Brethren, as we close this evening, I would just simply say, let's go out and have a blessed day. Let's have a blessed week. And we can do that with the right spiritual attitude and approach. We can do that if we will always believe God's Word and understand it and obey it in our lives. We can have a blessed day when we find ourselves speaking God's Word to others. And if we can use social media to do that or even personally do that, let's do that. When we get out and give, give, give. When we're forgiven of our sins. When we go throughout the day with all of our practices being a clean conscience. There's not simply, I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. No, just a clean conscience. And when we endure in times of trial, we will be blessed. I appreciate those who say that to me from time to time. We hear it out in the community. And I hope we've been reminded this evening of how that we can truly have that in our lives. When somebody says to you the next time, have a blessed day, I want you to think about these things and think about how that God in Christ truly want us to have that in our lives. We've got to do our part. And when we will, we'll find it's not about unhappiness. It's not about all of the trouble and trial and turmoil that so many people are going through, especially young people. But it's the blessed, happy life of serving Christ. And if we can help you to get on that road this evening, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?